We continue the shir in Sichas Horan, sayings of Rabbeinu Zal. We are now on Seif Tzadik Test, paragraph 99. Rabbeinu Zal says that we know factually, Rabbeinu Zal stressed many times, that a person, no matter how good he is, each person is called a tree. There are very tall, stately trees that are barren, that serve no purpose except for firewood. But they give no benefit to people if they do not bear fruit. The right kind of a tree is one that bears fruit. The same holds true with persons. Benedict said to his Talmidim, I want you to be fruit-bearing trees, which means that don't just be religious for yourselves, but go out and inspire others, enlighten others, teach them how to serve Hashem, doing mitzvahs and being more sincere. The Rebbeinu says, when a person speaks to his friend about Yiras Shemayim, about fear of Hashem, about religion, this creates, it actually creates a beam, a light beam, a ray, that emanates from the person's mouth who is speaking and directly strikes at the person who is receiving these words. Now this light beam carrying the words of this person, the words of Kedusha, is called the Eir Yoshar. Eir Yoshar means a direct ray towards the goal, towards the recipient. Automatically, there is also an Eir Chayzeh, which means the ray strikes the target, and then it returns. There's a ray that returns. Eir Chayzeh, this beam returns, boomerangs back to the person who disseminated this first ray. Now this ray, again, is one of Kedusha. It is a light of Teda, a spiritual heavenly light. Therefore, a person who speaks about Yiras Shemayim to someone else benefits himself, because those same words bounce back. Rabbeinu compares this to a wall, a solid wall, and you throw an object, throw a ball at the wall. It'll strike the wall, come right back to the one who tosses the ball, or receive it back again. So too, a person who speaks to his friend, Yiras Shemayim, a light that goes forth from him strikes this person, and whether the person absorbs it or not, it could be that this person is deaf, meaning he refuses to accept. But the words will still come back to the person who said it, and they will penetrate into himself. And he will find that by speaking to somebody else, he himself becomes aroused with a new desire, a new fervent spirit in Yiras Shemayim and serving Hashem. Much more so than if he would speak to himself. He would say these words while he is alone, or think them in his mind. They would not have this kind of an effect. They do have the effect when it is one that reverberates, comes back off the person to whom he spoke. So that Benedict says, think, you have a chance to bear fruit. You have a chance to instill, to plant these words, these gems of wisdom, of holiness, into a person who needs them badly. If that person receives them, if he absorbs them, fine, you have accomplished tremendously. If chas v'sholom not, if the person you speak to refuses, rejects words of Kedusha, you've lost nothing, you've gained a lot. Because you can get much more for yourself now than you had previously. So these words do not go lost at all. Because at least you'll become a better person. And it's possible it may benefit both of you. The person who's listening might absorb it, might accept it. Plus yourself, you'll find that you have gained. You as a tree will grow, will blossom forth even stronger than before. Plus the fact the fruit you bear will be the same as yourself. This Rabbeinu says that the benefit of speaking to others, each person should see to it that no matter how good he is, no matter how good he thinks he is, do not be satisfied, because the real tzaddik is not one that confines himself in closed quarters and there he serves Hashem to the utmost. But he studies Torah day and night, Davens day and night, and fasts, and abstains from any kind of desires, physical desires. It is still not the case of a real tzaddik. A real tzaddik is one that goes out to assist, to benefit others. Rabbi Benadol says, another topic, you find in the story of Yosef HaTzadik, talking about a real tzaddik. We know that the real tzaddik is symbolized with the word Tikkun HaBris, well, it was perfect as a tzaddik, and the main topic of tzaddik, the symbol of a tzaddik is Yosef HaTzadik, more than any other person ever. The word tzaddik is automatically associated with the word Yosef HaTzadik, just as Rabbeinu is connected with Moshe Rabbeinu, Avinu is Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, tzaddik is Yosef HaTzadik. So we have to see what was one of the items that elevated Yosef HaTzadik to this Madrega of Tzadik. He had to overcome a special battle with the Satan, with the Yetzirah, evil inclination that affects every person. Generally, the Taivas Noshim, Taivas Meshagel, Chas HaShem, Chil Vabris, is the greatest battle that a person has in life. There's no question about that. No one can dispute that. Even though there is Taivas Momeh, the desire for money, Taivas Achila, the desire for food, the other two of the three, but the worst one, the most difficult one to overcome, the main one where a person can achieve the title tzaddik, is Taivas Noshim, if he can overcome that evil desire, when it is evil, of course. We're not speaking about cases where it's Kedusha with one's wife, when it's the first mitzvah of the Taita. But where it is wrong, where it is sinful, that is the worst Taiva of all, and that's where a person overcoming that can become classified as a tzaddik. In the story of Yosef HaTzadik's confrontation with the wife of Potiphar, there is one phrase, Benazal dwells upon that phrase, where it says that when she tried to subdue him, she tried to overcome him, she tried to entice him, and he rejected her advances, finally it says, Vatispesehu bevigdai, that she grabbed hold of his coat and held on to it tightly and would not let go. There was only one alternative, either to surrender to her, Chas V'Sholom, or to let go of the coat himself and to escape without the coat. Otherwise, he was doomed. In his case, of course, Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Vayenach Bigdai Etzla, he left his coat with her. He left over his coat, his garment, Vayonas, and he fled. Vayonas, and he fled. He ran. He ran for his life. He ran for his spiritual life. The Zechus was so great. Vayonas, the word Vayonas, the Gemara says, that word became the key to the great miracle we just read about in the Torah this past Shabbos. Miracle of the dividing of the waters of the Red Sea was due to this act of Yosef HaTzadik. But it says that the waters divided, the waters fled before the advancement of the Jews. It was because of the schus of Yosef HaTzadik who fled from the tentacles of Potiphar's wife. Benadol says, now let us study those two words. She grabbed his coat. Who is she? She is not really a she. He is the Yetzirah. She is the angel of evil, the Satan. Who is Yosef HaTzadik? Every Jew. Every Jew is attacked by the Yetzirah, by the Satan, who tries to overcome and to crush the goodness within him, to victimize him, to make him drop his religion. What are the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the Satan to get a person, capture him through his clothes? There is a special taiva, special evil desire that is very widespread, that is just about universal. The idea of wearing clothes that are in style. If the present style is to wear a wide lapel, the men will discard good suits, precious ones they paid good money for, money which was misered, money which they worked hard for, good Jewish money, kosher money that was not stolen, and discard that because they want to keep up with the styles, this mudda. It's called the mudda, the Yiddish word for style, which of course is the evil of the Satan himself. He captures his victims through the taiva of clothes. With these clothes, through the idea of clothes, this leads to bigger and worse, much worse type of evils, of sins. Because when the item of clothes comes in, a person begins to groom himself to wear a special type of garments where he'd match the best of society. This leads to the worst characteristic of all, and that is gaiva, this haughtiness, conceit. He's wearing a $300 suit. He goes out and boasts or struts in front of others, showing off this expensive set of clothes he bought, or $50 shoes, or different articles of clothing. This brings about to a haughtiness which covers, which crushes the neshama, the soul, that cannot bear this burden. Hashem says, I will not live together, be together with this person on earth. Where a person has haughtiness or conceit, the two cannot be together. Because Hashem, Moloch, Geus, Lovish. Geus, greatness, is the garment of Hashem. When a person puts on clothes, and he's cloaked in haughtiness and conceit, that person is kaviyacho, to a degree, pushing aside the Shekhinah, the spirit of Hashem. Because where he is where the Shekhinah was. It is only when a person is very humble, it counts as nothing, that he can be together with the Shekhinah simultaneously. So the Bible says, how evil is this desire created by the satan, the trap the satan sets for people. This, of course, could apply to women also, because some go beyond their means to spend extra money for clothes beyond their financial ability. This could even destroy, chas v'shalom, the family harmony. But especially in the case of men, this holds true. There is a certain delicate, very delicate form of this gaiva, which even attacks the top echelons, the very top of, not society, but the top level of even the so-called tzaddikim. There are certain ones who place their clothes above many other types of mitzvahs. They will consider themselves a superior race because they wear certain type of clothes they consider makes them holy. Those that wear shtreimel, or those that wear white socks, those that wear different types of Hasidic garb, age, which is not actually a sign or a symbol of the inside, the interior of the person. It is true, of course, that that type of clothing has a degree of kedusha to it. That's understood. It is made for religious people, and they should be admired for wearing it. But when the clothing, the exterior, takes over, rules over the interior, this brings about to a beged of geus lovesh, the garments they wear, ones that they boast with, consider themselves superior race, they look down demeaningly at others who don't wear that type of garment, then they have defeated their own purpose completely. This is what the Minazar was about, Vatis Peseo Mevigdai. If you're going to be that religious, you're going to wear that type of clothing, you'll put on a shtreimel, don't let that shtreimel be your doom. Don't let it be a downfall. Instead of a crown, it becomes a crushing weight on the neshama, chas v'shalom. What then? What is the key? Bein Adol says, Ashrei, how fortunate and blessed is that person that can perform, fulfill the rest of the pasuk, Vayanach Bigdei Etzlo. Leave this garment to the satan. He wants to trap you with it. Give him back this garment, Vayanach, and flee. Flee from the scheme of the satan to bring you to the worst depth of despair, the depth of gaiva, which is Avodah Zorah, chas v'shalom. So Atis Peseo Bevigdai is one of the main tricks of the satan, and especially, much more so in our generation, when there are more and more clothing manufacturers and newest styles that come out, a person must buy clothes modestly, very modestly. Don't go out to compare to the goyim, chas v'shalom. Above all, One of the main reasons that the Jews were saved from Mitzrayim, the Golus of Egypt, was the fact that they retained their clothing identity, different than the Goyim. Today, too, a Jew should know that he's not supposed to emulate, copy the Goyim in their ways of dress. Jews should remain his own modest self, walk in the ways of Hashem with modesty, and that person will be saved from the evils of the Satan. Benazel says now, the next paragraph, which as we said, we find a direct relation between paragraphs, that in serving Hashem, a person does not have to be very clever, very shrewd. That's not the way to serve Hashem with a shrewdness. The best way to serve Hashem is with simplicity. Very simple-minded, a person can be a very simpleton, but in his simple manner, he serves Hashem, exactly fulfilling what Hashem wants him to do. The wisest person could be a person who studies Torah very deeply and very in depth and wisdom, yet if that person delves deeper and deeper into this wisdom, will find himself falling into a trap of philosophy. Whereas a person that goes to Pshitus with simplicity, taking each word of the Torah in its simple form, and fulfilling it as simply as possible, that person is reaching the highest degree of serving Hashem. Again, a very delicate form, kaviyochol. Kaviyochol means if we may use this term. Benedel says that above all else, naturally, is Hashem himself. Yet we find that the extreme degree of simplicity is found by Hashem himself. Hashem conducts himself in the greatest degree of simplicity, because Hashem in all his awesome, infinite greatness still reveals himself to us, his own words, the words of the Torah, and mitzvahs, and lowers himself, kaviyachol, to be close to every single Jew. As we said, if a Jew wants to commune, to speak to Hashem, then there's no necessity to go through 10 different secretaries, or to make appointments a month in advance. And the very second's notice, without notice at all, the Jew just has to turn his face upwards to Hashem or turn his face down anywheres and speak. At that very moment, Hashem is listening closely, attentively to every word that he utters and will respond if these words are said simpleness and with sincerity. So therefore, the greatest, the wisest person is the most simple one. And the one of those too wise, that person destroys himself because he draws himself away from the Kedusha of Pshitus, which is the true way of Hashem. Benazar brings the Pasuk Hashem Elekov Imaith Usuas Melech Bay. Translates it this way: when a person breaks the atheism, kfidis apikorsis, there is, of course, a constant wave of kfida in the world. Those who are opposed to true faith, those that try to deny the existence, the creation of the world, the truth of the Torah, the word of Hashem, the person destroys that, breaks, crashes through it, he will find his amazement that in the core, the center of this item, of this idol, of this atheism, there he will find Hashem himself. Because nothing can exist in this world without Hashem sustaining it. Even an actual idol which people worship, that too is because of Hashem's existence. That's why the idols are called Kael Zor, or Elikim Achidim. Because it is still Elikim. Without Hashem there, this couldn't exist. It is made with Hashem there to mislead, to test others in their faith. But still, a person has sunk so deeply that he's formed in this kafida, he doesn't have to go far to return to Hashem. Right where he is, right in the center, in the midst of this kafida, this atheism, he can turn and find the existence of Hashem, and come back as close to Hashem as possible. One single turn to the right. Now this is called the kavod of Hashem, the true honor of Hashem, is simply cloaked. It's cloaked in these thoughts, these statements of atheism by these kofanim, and it is covered and requires a person to delve, to find it, to understand that nothing exists without Hashem. Therefore, no matter how far a person has descended into sin, right where he is, in the very depth, he can do tshuva and find Hashem there. And the difference is between one who does tshuva or those who are mechakrim, philosophers, the deep thinkers who go into philosophy, their life is a very unpleasant one. Their physical life is unpleasant because they can never really fulfill their desires. What do they live for? They don't believe in Elam Haba. They believe only in Elam Haza, this world. But they want to live. You live it. You live one life, they say, and live it. Live it well. So as much as they try to fulfill their desires with buying more and more clothes, for example, or better cars, or different, going to better restaurants, they find there's always something missing. They cannot really find a true satisfaction and enjoyment. And this makes them suffer. They feel badly because they have nothing to look forward to later on, afterlife. Here they find they're not fulfilling themselves. So that in the so-called joy, in the luxuries, and the pleasures that they have, these earthly material pleasures, there is still a vacuum. They're not fulfilling their desires, so they suffer during the time of pleasure. Besides from which, surely more so, imagine what happens when some kind of suffering or tragedy befalls them. If they become ill, or they have some type of a serious problem, then they surely suffer because they have nothing to fall back on, nothing to look forward to. They have no faith, no belief that this can turn out to for their benefit. Whereas a person who has true emunah, true faith, that person lives a double life because he knows at all times that if he doesn't have too much luxury, too much pleasure in this world, he knows that there awaits him an eternity of extreme pleasure in Elam Haba, in Gan Eden, afterwards. And even when he does have yesudim, some type of suffering or ailments during his life here, then too, he sustains himself, he consoles himself with the thought that this is good, because for two reasons. The first place, he has a very strong faith in Hashem. If he's ill now, he knows that Hashem is watching him, and Hashem will help, and Hashem will cure him. So in his illness, he's happy with the thought that Hashem will send a cure. Plus the fact that even at this moment of his suffering, he's also happy in that his suffering will help to erase some of his sins. It'll erase the necessary punishment for them. So a person who has faith lives a good life, even in this world. Though he has, of course, the main reward awaiting for him in Elam Haba. Whereas the mechakrim, the philosophers, the atheists, not only have no Elam Haba, even according to their thoughts, of course they have an Elam Haba, a future life, but in the wrong place, where they must pay an eternal penalty for their atheistic ideals. Even in this world too, they have no consolation whatsoever. They have no feeling of satisfaction. They can never reach the point where they are completely satisfied. And then, too, there is the inyan of a type of suffering that cuts a person's life short. It subtracts years or days of his life. And what is that? That is fear. A person who lives in fear, fright, shortens a person's lifespan. Now, there are two kinds of fear, though. There is Yirat Shamayim, fear of Hashem. A person who commits a sin, a religious person committing a sin, is filled with a fear of Hashem, and this leads him to tshuva. This fear, the ultimate, the punishment for the sin, the fear of the fact that he has gone against Hashem's word, that kind of fear does not shorten his life. There's a pasuk, Yiras Hashem, Tesef Yomim. fear of Hashem increases, multiplies the years he will live. It's a special type of fear which lengthens his lifespan. Whereas those who do not have this fear of Hashem, those who do not feel the spiritual ideal serving Hashem, for them, any type of fear or any type of worry will shorten their lifespan and will make their life that much more bitter. And so therefore, too, the Bible says that, note, every person practically commits sins. In order to correct, to amend, to make amends for these sins, a person must do tshuva and must pay for them. He's got to repay. How does a person repay? The Gemara says, through remorse, regret, sorrow for the sin he committed. He must have yesudim, suffering. He must suffer to pay for the sin. How much must he pay? An equivalent amount. Whatever he committed, for that, the amount of pleasure he had, he must now suffer in its place, an equal amount. So a person who really has a true fear of Hashem, a true spirit of Ahavas Hashem, serving Hashem in true faith, when that person commits a sin, that sin is not a healthy sin, because even at the time he's doing it, he feels very badly inside of himself. So the pleasure itself is not really fulfilled in doing that sin. His sense of guilt, his conscience, bothers him so that he cannot really enjoy the sin he's committing. Therefore, the tshuva he does is only a light one. It requires a light degree of tshuva to cover that light degree of pleasure he had in committing the sin. But the persons who don't have faith, they go into the sin in depth. They cloak themselves completely. They immerse themselves in the sin fully taking advantage, enjoying the pleasures of this illegal act. Therefore, their tshuva, the repentance, is so much more severe, so much requires so much more action on their part, so much more suffering for the sin. Therefore, the Bible says that one of the worst evils that a person should shy away from is the study of philosophy, or any contact with those who study philosophy. And the Bezalel quotes from the Shilah HaKodesh. The Shilah HaKodesh states la halacha that it is forbidden for any Jew to ever open up one of those sfarim, philosophy books written by anyone, even written by the greatest of the rabbis of the past, because anyone who delves into it surely loses his part in Gan Eden. Just as Rabbi Akiva states the halacha, and it's foolish for a person to give up, to surrender his Gan Eden for the sake of the temporary potential pleasure of reading these poisonous books. So how much wiser a person is if he remains a simple person with simple faith. Now delving into this deep thought, deep penetrations into faith with philosophy, persons are ma'amin b'pshitus. Very simply and very sincerely, he believes completely, utterly in the existence of Hashem, in the fact that Hashem rules, reigns, and will always reign, the fact that the Torah is the word of Hashem, and every word of the Torah is the truth. All these are different facets of faith. Rabbeinu says, therefore, how much better it is for a person to be a blind fool. Actually, using that word, a blind fool, which means a person who has blind faith and who believes in everything, even that which might be foolish. Others might consider it very foolish to believe certain things that might be meaningless. There are some statements brought by certain sfarim that may not be all that true. Small items that are handed down from the grandmother's age. Tiny items that pertain to possible superstitions or things like that. And the person who believes everything that is written, foolishly even, much better off that person is than the person who is the wise one, who constantly delves deeper and deeper into faith, thereby denies everything that he reads, because he attacks it, he criticizes it, he studies it that deeply that he finds fault with it, and he is called the wise one. Rabbi Elazar here, in this case, quotes the words of the Gemara. The Kavi Malalel says that I'd rather, much rather, be called a fool all my life because of my implicit faith, rather than to find myself being called a Rasha Chas V'Shalom by Hashem that moment when I come before the heavenly court. So how much better off a person is who has this pure, simple faith. And if there are others who scoff at him, who mock him, who belittle him, then it's worth undergoing that bit of suffering, the hands of others, but knowing inside very clear that your conscience is very, very clear, that you have what to look forward to, because you'll be able to boast proudly, very proudly boast at the heavenly court, I went through my entire lifetime, I never opened, never looked into, never studied the words of the philosophers. How much that statement is worth when a person comes before the heavenly court, that too is like saying, I made it. I went through life and I made it. I did not fall victim to philosophy, which is a point of no return. Meinel says a person who studies philosophy can never really come back. This is a topic that the Mikra, we're learning now in the Gemara. We began it last Wednesday Shia. This Wednesday Shia is a continuation of that, to show the poison of philosophy to which there is no return. Even the case, as the Gemara is the case where a person wasn't in tshuva for it, tshuva can, of course, repentance can help anything, but it would still cause the death of that person. A person must die if he has delved that deeply into philosophy. At least, that would be the favor for him, to save him from the evils of philosophy itself. So the best thing is that a person should never allow himself to look into these books, to listen to these words, never get into a controversy, a debate, a discussion, a forum with these philosophers. Do not discuss it with them, because you cannot correct them. You cannot change their minds. Those who are poisoned by it have reached the point of no return. The best thing is not to associate with them, not to have any discussions at all. Remain pure throughout this very, very short life. Know that you have served Hashem with pure, true, simple emunah. Maybe I'll quote the Gemara, which says that if this menuvo, if this disgusting character, the Gemara calls him, Yitzhahara is called a disgusting character. He's an angel, but still he is a menuvo. If he meets you in Pogamacha, what do you do then? How do you escape? You can't just push him aside. The Gemara says, Mashicheu lebeis hamedrash, drag him with you into the yeshiva, sit down and learn, and then you'll be saved from his clutches. Benedel says, note the words, Poga Becha, if he meets you, pull him into the Beis HaMidrash. What is this Yetzirah? The Zayin HaKadosh says the Yetzirah is a fiery angel. Fire because he enters into the heart of a person, and he arouses him with a deep, fiery passion to commit sin. That's why Yetzirah is Begimatria Esh, fire. The antidote to counteract him is the Torah. Hashem says, Alaykai Dvorai Ka'esh, Nium Hashem. Words of Hashem, my words, Hashem says, are words of fire. My words of fire are superior to the inferior fire of the Yetzirah. Therefore, if you are attacked by his fire, go into the Beis HaMidrash, please go into the study, start studying Torah, and you will overcome this Yetzirah. Benedel says, to go one step further, we still haven't explained the word in Poga Muhammad Zeh. If he meets you, if he sees you, you come together. What is the word Poga? The word Poga, we know, also means Tefillah. It means Tefillah davening. Benedel says it is possible for this maneuver, for this Yetzirah, to attack a person right in the middle of his davening. Not when he's outside where he sees things that are bad, or when he's doing something where it can be diverted to a sin, or where he is standing and davening in the midst of the deepest part of tefillah, he can have this penetration of the Yetzirah, the Satan, come into his mind and draw his mind away from the words he is saying into actually evil thoughts. So, in Poga Becha, if you find the Yetzirah in the middle of your tefillah, what is the key to it? What is the solution? The Beis HaMedrash. Take him to the Beis HaMedrash to learn Torah, because there he has no power. He does have power to enter into Machshava Yisoris B'Shas HaTefillah, evil, strange thoughts at the time of davening. When it comes to learning Torah, then it's impossible for him to have any power. Once a person has studied Torah, the Gemara says that the Esek B'Torah, the study of Torah, is Megin U'Matzil. It protects a person from the Yetzirah. It rescues a person from sin. The greatest defense, the armor against bad thoughts or against bad actions, is the study of Torah. So even if a person has fallen that low, that in the middle of davening, he's attacked by this evil desire of the Satan, he can still defeat him by taking him into the Beis HaMedrash, which means take him to the study of Torah. There he'll be forced to leave him and desert him. Speaking about tefillah, the Midrash brings the pasuk Asher Koyach Bohem La'amad B'Heichal HaMelech. People have the power to stand in the throne room of Hashem. What is meant by the throne room of Hashem? Zayin HaKadosh says, the Heichal means the home or the special room set aside for Hashem. Kaviyachal, Hashem, the king, is the name Yudke Vovke. And the Heichal, the container, the room for Hashem, is the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Shem Adnei. Therefore, the Shem Adnei is Begimetria Heichal. This is the Heichal for Hashem. That's the pasuk that Vashem Beheichal Kodshai. Hashem, you came up, is in the Heichal, the holy Heichal, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the one that's used regularly. A person who wants to stand before Hashem in the throne of Hashem, that person can do so if he davens with Kavona. Therefore, before starting a daven Shmoneh Esrei, which is said in the throne of Hashem, a person starts with the words Hashem, Sefosai Tiftoch. Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is the word there. It's the Heichal, Sefosai Tiftoch, that my lips open up, that my mouth become a Heichal for Hashem. That me too become part of this Heichal, so I can rise up to the heights of being that much closer to Hashem. You see, we're in tefillah itself, a person can actually become a room or a container for the spirit of Hashem. The Mishkan of Hashem can be the person's heart and the person's mind. This, the Midrash says, a person can do only with the Koyach of the Tzadikim. That's the reason why we have the general rule before davening. Each person should say, "Ani mikashet atzmi b'tfilosi." I hereby attach myself, bind myself with my tefillah to all tzaddikim amitiyim, especially to the tzaddikim of Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash says that emuna itself, faith, is the category of oyer, light. Faith is light. Therefore, we find the pasuk v'emunoscha b'alelos. The word is used v'emunoscha b'alelos, that at night is when faith is most necessary. At night means when things are dark, when things do not look good. Then faith is what lights up and brightens up the darkness of the night. Of course, this again means faith without any deep thoughts, without any philosophical thoughts, without any tricks. Very simply, to accept the faith in Hashem without question. Those people who delve into faith and want to know the whys and wherefores and want to delve into the Torah and find reasons for everything, physical reasons, those people develop a cancer of the brain. What the Gemara calls balei rasa, a germ enters into the brain, and this germ poisons the brain. It gives the brain a terminal cancer, as is shown. The result is that since the brain is the source of birth, the children that are born are chas v'shalom affected. The zivig of that person becomes affected too. That person with his mate become affected so that the type of birth is a wrong type. The type of mating is a wrong type, one that is sinful. Therefore, in other words, there is a definite chil habris that comes from this. This is as we find in the pasuk in Kriyat Shema, which says, "V'lo yisasuru," not turn away from Hashem, "acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem." Levavchem, the heart, deals with faith. What is in the heart? That is faith. Or, where there is lack of faith, is acharei levavchem minus. A bikursus tells you because the person turns away from faith. Acharei einechem means that the eyes see this chil habris, the eyes see, and then the person desires, and then he fulfills the action in Sid. But we see these two words that Sid directly in connection with each other. They are both combined. Lavavchem einechem. If the person is in the depth of minus, of kfidus, bikursus, automatically he must be a mechal habris. He cannot be a true shemen habris, because these two go together. So a tzaddik can be only one who has that simple emunah. If the first is emunah is lacking, if he has a midah degree of kfida, the Beit Hillel says no, that you may suspect him, you can be sure that he is committing illegal sins, sins of illegal type with women. You can rest assured of that all these kaifrim, these apikursim, are all mechalal bris. It must be because these two go together. Therefore, a person wants to be a true tzaddik, it necessarily dictates that he must have this simple faith. Then if acher levavchem is pure, it is easier for him to overcome this evil desire of chil habris and to become a true shemen habris. The Beit Hillel says, we find that Esther Amalko, the Gemara says, was bedinis. She was of medium height, neither too tall nor too short. Therefore, she possessed beauty, because one is a woman is just right if she is of medium height, not too tall or too short. What is meant by this statement? Beit Hillel explains that her ancestors, we begin with Rachel first. Rachel Imenu, the Gemara says, was very, very modest. She was so pure in her modesty, the mitzvah that she was willing to give away, to surrender Yaakov Avinu to her sister Leah, not to embarrass Leah. So without telling Yaakov Avinu that there was a fraud being perpetrated, she allowed Leah to become Yaakov Avinu's wife. This great mitzvah of modesty rewarded her with the fact that from her came forth King Shaul, descendant of Benjamin, who also possessed a great degree of modesty, because when he was told by Shmuel HaNavi he'd become king, he kept this information from his uncle as a matter of humbleness and modesty. In reward of this, he too had, his descendant was Esther Hamalka, who was also modest. She did not tell her origin, her religion, to Ahasuerus, to anyone else. So we see this is one lineage, and many of those claims there are therefore, since Rachel, it says, Bitchat Tana. Rachel was small. Shaul HaMelech, it says, was tall. B'shich Meremal Gavaya. Esther was between, just in between these two. It's a secret of why she was just of the average height. Question, of course, is Esther was not between. If she had been born between Rachel and Shaul, we can see that. But she was born third, last. The answer is, this is the depth here, the answer is that between means she came from both of them. She's the only one that came from both. He was born from Rachel and Shaul, were her ancestors. The other two had only one. And therefore, since she came from both, she had to have the characteristics of both, which means the in-between stage. That's why she was Lechol Eitzora, meaning she also had the qualities of both, and therefore she was that pure. This, of course, shows the fact that there are tzaddikim and tzidkonios, both. Men and women should learn from them. We should be zecher to be kabbal from them, and to conduct ourselves in their true modesty.